with that one. But that one is. Yeah. Software.
This was 3 weeks ago.
I did some searching. There's me.
I don't know if
Red Book.
Red Book.
about 698 instead.
That's not good.
Did we sing that this morning?
No.
No, we didn't.
C.
698. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, shout the victory. 49. Still have a little bit of a cold, so just a little bit. That's true. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grease, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, oh how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, oh, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died. I lift my head and I put it, where am I? It's okay. Oh boy, pardon me? 688. Pardon me?
I think so.
I think we know this one. We'll try. When all of my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I'd adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Glory for 521. 521. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen. Two forty-seven. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
697.
In the sweet by and by. Bye.
song that we sing, Lord, they give us such encouragement. And we have heaven to look forward to, Lord. This is not our home. It's just a place we're passing through. It's just a drop in the bucket, Lord. And we're so thankful that we have a hope. There's so many out there without hope. Amen. Lord, they're hoping in this world. They're hoping in the things of this world, Lord. And you can't count on those things, Lord. You can only count on you, Lord, for all good things come from you. And we just ask you to bless the offering, Lord. Bless all the missionaries. Lord, be with them. Be with them on the field out there. Keep them safe. Lord, encourage them, Lord. Help them to see the victories that you present to them, Lord, and to concentrate on what you have for them. We pray for those who are sick, Lord, that you would be with them, Lord, and just help them to get better and help them be able to come out to church. Lord, we thank you for our building. We thank you for everything you do for us, Lord, and we just ask you to bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Go ask the child who's You already got that running, huh?
Right, thank you. I've got some ideas of a couple of sermons floating around in the back of my mind that I'm going to be working on. And the first one that I may preach pretty soon will be on the resurrection. Our resurrection. Been doing some study in the scriptures and reading some precious verses from the Word of God, gathering them together. It'll make a wonderful message, I'm sure, because that's what we have to look forward to if we miss the rapture. If you're a Christian and you miss the rapture, you'll be in the first resurrection, because the rapture is going to take place when the Lord comes for all of the living, and some of us may not be here at that time. So resurrection is for the dead, rapture is for the living. Open your Bibles tonight to Psalm 81. I was going to read verses 8 through 16 for my text today, but I think I'll go ahead and see if I can read the entire 16 verses of this Psalm 81. I have a Bible with a larger print at home, but I didn't bring it. I'm using this one. Listen to these words, will you? Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, as our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. Now look at this next verse. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. should I have satisfied thee? I want to take those words from this last verse there tonight and see if I might enlarge upon them to the edification of our hearts and the encouragement of our souls. Honey out of the rock. We read over in Exodus chapter 17 where the children of Israel were thirsty. And they came to Moses and said, "We've got to have some water in this wilderness." Moses said, "Lord, where can I get water for all of your people out here?" God told him to go over to an old flinty rock and smite it with his rod. He did, and cool, refreshing water flowed out of that rock. Moses got water from the rock. Then read a little further, and over in Judges chapter 14, you'll find Samson. He's going down to the city of Timnath to see his girlfriend. This is not his first trip that he's made down there. The first time he went down there, there was a young lion that jumped out at him, and he killed it with his bare hands and tossed the carcass over to the side of the road. Well, this time he goes down through there, and he got to the place where that lion had attacked him. He had killed the lion with his hands. And he said, "I think I'll go over there and see." So he went over there, and there was the skeletal remains of this old lion that he'd killed. And the bees had come and made a hive in, I guess, the rib bones of this old lion that he'd killed. And he went over there and chased the bees away and got him a handful of honey. So Moses got water out of a rock, and Samson got honey out of the carcass of an old lion. And now then, here in Psalm 81, we have God's promise to his children about getting honey out of the rock. Honey out of the rock. Now, keep in mind two things. First of all, honey is about the sweetest thing that nature can produce. When I was a boy, we used to follow a bee down through the woods and see where he landed in an old holler tree. And then we'd go down there and cut that tree down and get the honey out of it. We got honey out of a tree. But he's talking about honey out of a rock. Well, a rock is about one of the hardest things in nature. So here we have sweetness coming out of hardness. Honey out of the rock. Now, you and I think about getting honey out of a honeycomb, or best thing to do, just go to the store and buy you a jar of it. But what the Lord is saying here is sort of spiritual, and it's a lot deeper than that. What God is saying here, folks, is this: you're going to have some hard times in your life. You're going to run up against some rocks. But don't get discouraged when you do, because God said, "I'm going to give you honey out of the rock." You're going to experience sweetness out of the hard experiences of life. Some of you, like I did, can remember back to the 1930s and the times of the Great Depression. When we think about hard times, we think of the Great Depression.
because those were pretty hard times. But many Americans experienced sweetness during those hard times. I don't know how much it had to do with it, but I remember, I think it was in 1934, that was right in the middle of it, you know, that my father and mother got saved. So that's a lot of sweetness out of the hardness, isn't it?
Amen.
I don't know if it was the depression that helped bring them to Christ or not. But anyway, during those hard times, they found the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to wonder why God doesn't remove the rocks out of the Christian's path. Certainly none of us enjoy going through those hard places. And we might think, well, God, if you really loved us like you say you do, you'd remove those rocks out of the way. But he doesn't. So I've come to the conclusion that God knows what he's doing, even if I don't. Now you and I may not appreciate the rocks, but I believe that we need them in our lives. I'm sure that you have learned, as I have, that some of the sweetest experiences of life have come because of the difficulties and even the tragic times that we've had in our lives. Perhaps it has resulted in drawing us closer to God, for one thing, and bringing us into his fellowship. If you haven't run up against any of these rocks, you just haven't tasted the sweet honey out of the rock. That's for sure. We mentioned this morning in our message about Joseph, 17-year-old boy that was hated by his brothers. They sold him into slavery. He went down into Egypt and stood there on that auction block, and I suppose the people bid for him. And a guy named Potiphar finally bought him and took him home with him and made him a household servant. You'll remember how that Potiphar's wife got him into trouble and accused him of trying to molest her, and poor Joseph, innocent as a lamb, was sent to a prison where he languished for many days, seemingly forgotten. Now imagine during that time that he was there, he wondered, why am I going through such hard times? His life was just one rocky experience after another. But when it was over, God fulfilled his purpose for Joseph. And Joseph discovered honey out of the rock. That experience that he had prepared him to become God's special servant and the second ruler over Egypt for a period of 80 years. David had similar experiences. We're teaching about David on Wednesday nights in our Bible study. And for the past month or more, we've studied about David. He had been anointed king by Samuel to be king of Israel. And then Saul got on his case, and David had to flee from Saul, hiding out in the wilderness, sleeping in caves He truly had a rocky path, didn't he? His life started out good, but now he's hunted down like a notorious criminal. King Saul hated him and wanted to kill him. And you know, even after David was on the throne, his son Absalom rose up against him and chased him off out of the country. David had to flee. When Absalom tried to kill him, if there ever was a man that went through a rocky experience, it was David, wasn't it? And there in the wilderness, sometimes old Satan would come to David and he would say to him, David, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to serve the Lord. Why don't you just give up? God promised you a kingdom, and all you've had so far are rocks and caves. David was tempted to give up. There was a time when he said, eventually Saul's going to kill me. He was down. But you know, David didn't give up, and finally God gave him honey out of the rock. And many of David's psalms, you read them, they were born out of the difficult experiences of his life. And they are psalms of encouragement to us today as we walk our rocky road. I think one of the tests of maturity, spiritual maturity, is how a person gets enjoyment out of his life. There are some people in the world that get their pleasure out of doing wrong. That's the lowest possible way to live. Others get their pleasure by avoiding responsibilities and difficulties and living a sheltered and protected life, isolating themselves, so to speak. But that approach to life never makes a person strong or mature. And a mature Christian does not go out deliberately looking for difficulties. But when they come, he doesn't run away from them. He accepts them in the will of God and asks the Lord to give him honey out of the rock. When you read the Psalms, you notice in the construction of most of them that they have four divisions: trouble, tears, trust, and triumph. Starts off with the trouble, the sorrows, but it winds up in victory. The psalm will begin with trouble and tears. That causes the psalmist to cry out to God. And when he cries out to God, God hears, and he takes his eyes off of his difficulties and he looks to God in faith. And when he does, a wonderful thing happens in his life. His trials are replaced by triumph, and his sighing becomes a song. Why? He's discovered the honey in the rock.